Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
And we're only going to read verse 4. There's a bunch in this passage that we could talk about, but for time's sake, we're going to focus on verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." I want to talk to you today about how to delight yourself in the Lord. How to delight yourself in the Lord. You know, the enemy is after your confidence. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews to cast not aside, in the Old King James, cast not aside your confidence, for you have need of it. You know, God needs the body of Christ to walk and operate in confidence in the day that we live in. Amen. Listen, we got no time for Christians that don't know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There is a ferocity, there's a fierceness about our faith that we have to engage in. Amen. We can't be passive as Christians and as individuals of the body of Christ. Amen. We can't be passive. We'll not get anything done for the kingdom that needs to be done if we just sit idly by. Amen. And so one of the things that the enemy wants to work on us in is to steal away from us our confidence. I stopped in this morning, Perry and I drove in, and I stopped by Panera to get a cup of coffee and a bagel on my way in this morning because I'm eating healthy, you know, and that was a joke. That was a joke. I stopped in, and this lady making my coffee could not have been more nervous. And I thought to myself, and I wasn't thinking this to pick on her, but it was something that I observed. I thought to myself, you know, one of the most unattractive things that you can see in yourself or in another person is a lack of confidence. It was like she'd never used this machine before. And maybe she hadn't, I don't know. But everything was like, she was just so nervous. And I was like, honey, it's just milk and coffee. It's not, we're not trying to, you know, send a rocket to the moon. It's just, you know, I can come back there and do it for you. I've seen them do it, you know. And it dawned on me, you know, we think that humility is frailness and weakness. We think that meekness is this state of being wherein we're always questioning things and second-guessing ourselves. No, that's not humility. That's a lack of confidence. That's somebody who bit down on a line that was a lie. That's somebody who, like a fish biting down on bait and getting yanked by a hook, somebody bit down on the enemy's lie that said they're not who God says they are, and now they're getting drug around. Make sense? So humility doesn't come at the expense of confidence, right? You can be super confident and super humble. It's called submission. That's another message. Just know that the devil is after your confidence, and the way that he does it is to put insecurity and plant it in your life. Well, the way to get rid of that is to delight yourself in the Lord. I think I told you last week, in the message, I was standing in a town called North Conway, New Hampshire, in the L.L. Bean store, looking at a big orange canoe while my father was picking out socks for my mom. And I was waiting for him, and I had nothing better to do, and I was just poo-pooing on myself, feeling all insecure. And the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks and pulled me right to this scripture. Delight yourself also in the Lord. We find our delight in all kinds of places, except from where we need to find our delight in, which is in God. How many of you besides me are guilty, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you are guilty of finding, of you know, having a bad day and reaching for the macaroni and cheese instead of reaching for your Bible? Hello. This is a church. We're honest, right? How many of you feel have a rough day and the first thing you want to do is go binge watch a whole season of some show that's just going to be like eating pollution, you know? We get bummed out and we want to give ourselves spiritual brownies. We want to find comfort in all kinds of things. The scripture teaches us that the way to combat the work of the enemy, when he's trying to steal your confidence, the way to combat that is to learn to delight yourself in the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there for time, but 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, go look at it later. It's the story of David with his mighty men when the enemy, the Amalekites, came and went and wreaked havoc on their village while the soldiers were away. They stole all their livestock, their wives and their children, and a bunch of their possessions. And David and his mighty men come back to their little village and everything's gone. The Bible says at the beginning of the verse, David's spirit was deeply troubled. And by the time you get to the end of the verse, it says, so David delighted himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Is it up there? Yes, it is. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I don't know if you've had a bad day, but I think David was probably having a bad day. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. It would be an interesting study, and I haven't done it per se, but it would be an interesting study to go through the scripture and find out how many times the Bible says for you to do something for yourself. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Timothy, stir up the gift that was put in you by the laying on of my hands. How many times does the Bible instruct us to take responsibility for our own encouragement? Over and over and over again. But see, we look to the external, man. We go for the macaroni and cheese. We look for the mac and cheese when we're having a bad day. Or bread, you know, bread bowls. Anybody ever eat warm soup out of a bread bowl and then eat the bowl? I'm Italian, man. I was raised with bread and pasta. That's my comfort button. Right? Isn't that right? Just ask my wife. It's terrible for me, but it's my comfort button. That's my love language is red sauce. Amen? Praise God. We often look to the external or to people for our joy. Do you know that it's not healthy, those who are married, to look to your spouse for joy that only God can give you? Did you know that you put an unnecessary and improper pull on your spouse when you don't know how to encourage yourself in the Lord and you look to them to do it for you? You actually create problems for both of you. Because you're putting a demand on them that only God can meet in you. Amen? Same thing of your children. Our kids bring us great joy, but sometimes they backtalk, right? Sometimes they do things they're not supposed to do, and then all of a sudden, my joy is gone. Well, how many of you know that's not a problem with them? That's a problem with me. Amen. Oh, this is good message this morning. Praise God. We have learned as a society, follow me in this for a second, because we look to people all the time for our own comfort and our own peace. And so what we've actually trained ourselves to do is to go to somebody else when I need encouragement. And we live from one experience to the next experience to the next experience, depending on other people to be my encouragement. And we never learn in between to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. If the sole source of my encouragement is from, you know, a get-together with my friends, well, man, it might be a month before I get to see those people again. Am I going to live the next 4 weeks totally depressed? But we do that, don't we? We've actually learned to live that way. We've actually learned to just live from, you know, put it in the context of church, from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. only getting our tires pumped up on Sunday when we come to church, and then driving flat all week long. Anybody besides me been there? I'm not calling you out. I just want to shine the light this morning on something within all of us that we need to be adjusting. We've actually cultivated it as a habit in our lives. A red flag always goes, I'm just going to give you a little hint here. A red flag always goes up in my mind when somebody says they're desperate for something that they should be getting themselves. I'm desperate for this. I'm desperate. I just need this. I just need to talk to so-and-so. I'm desperate. No, you ought to be stirring yourself up in the Lord, not living from a place of desperation. Amen. We need to learn to encourage ourselves. I wrote this line in my notes. We let what people say outweigh what God says in His Word. We let the opinions of others outweigh what the Spirit of God has said in the Word of God. And so what happens is, if so-and-so says, I'm good, I'll believe it. See what I'm saying? If my wife says, honey, you look great today, then man, I'm on top of the world. She just told me I look great. Am I saying that that's wrong? No, of course, that's great. We need to compliment each other and be a blessing. But if that's the only place I draw strength from, what happens when the next day she doesn't say it? Is my life totally deflated? Is this helping you this morning? Okay. The point is, we have to learn to take responsibility for our own encouragement in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So the question is, how do we do that? David said, delight yourself also in the Lord. We'll read it one more time, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I wish that I had time to preach this whole passage to you, because there's five command words that God gives us in the space of four scriptures. And I'm just going to give them to you, and then I'm not going to touch it because we got to preach verse 4. But verse 3, 4, 5, and 7, He says, trust, dwell, delight, commit, and rest. Trust, dwell, delight, commit, and rest. Those are five commandments, directives, action words from the Spirit of God that we can put into practice in our life. Now today we only have time to focus on delight, but I want you to know that those were there. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't say the desires of His heart. Says the desires of your heart. Huh? See, we've been taught by religion for so many years that your heart is exceedingly wicked and you're terrible and you're just such a worm and nobody loves you. So we've been taught that whatever we feel is inherently wrong. Right? If I have a thought or if I have a desire, it must be wrong because it came from me. Well, how many of you know that all changed when you got saved, man? That all changed when the Spirit of God took residence on the inside of you. He gives your heart desire, and He wants to fulfill the thing He put in you. Amen. Oh, that's good. It's grounds for shouting right there. That's grounds to get excited. God put good things and good plans inside of you. He planted His desires in your heart. So when they start to bloom, water them, man, because they came from Him. Amen. So how do we delight? How do I delight myself in the Lord? I've got five things, and I'll say this is not an exhaustive list, but it's the top five, if you will, that I could find in Scripture. That we delight ourselves in the Lord. And I'm going to give you just a disclaimer at the beginning. These are going to feel uncomfortable for you the first few times you do them. Especially if you're not a demonstrative person, if you're quiet and meek and mild. You know, my wife and I, we're polar opposites when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, I'm loud, sweaty, you know. want to be the life of the party. You know, if I'm in a room, my voice is usually the loudest, you know. Brianne is meek and mild and quiet, and so we compliment each other in that regard. But if you're wired like my wife is, for example, some of these may seem uncomfortable to you. But just do it anyway. Amen? How many of you know that when you learned to swim, it was a little uncomfortable at first, till you started moving through the water? Some of these may feel uncomfortable at the beginning, but just stick with them, okay? Five things that we can do to delight ourselves in the Lord. Number one, read and confess the Word of God. Thank you for that thundering silence. Read and confess the Word of God. Can you say amen? Yes. I mean, of all of them, this one is probably the most important. Read and confess the Word of God. Let me say this to you. It does no good to just read and not confess, and it does no good to just confess and not read. You can only pour out what you've got. And just because we may have memorized the words on the page, Paul said it's the letter that kills, but the Spirit that gives life. So if I just memorize as a routine the Scripture, I'll just receive the letter part. But it's when I feed on the Word and put it in me that it begins to have power. Now when I speak, my words have something behind them. Amen? Read and confess the Word of God. It is the source of God's power. I want you to think about this story from Matthew chapter 8. The centurion comes to Jesus. We won't go there for time's sake, but you know the story. The centurion comes to Jesus, and he says, "You got to come. My servant is sick and near the point of death." And Jesus says to him, "I will come to your house." And the centurion stops Jesus in the middle of the story and says, "I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed." Now, there's some amazing lessons in that story. You can preach and teach and learn authority from that story. You can preach and teach and learn faith from that story. But the one I want to highlight for today is the power and the potency of God's word. The centurion says, "You don't even have to come to my house. Forget it. I'd love to have you over, Jesus, but we haven't changed the sheets on the bed, and I think the kid spilled chocolate milk on the couch. You can't just listen. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word." Why? Because I understand that when it comes to God, words mean something, and they have power. He says, "I myself am a man under authority, and I know that when I say to this one, go, he goes, and come, he comes." He says, "I fully expect the same thing to happen when you speak to the sickness in my servant." Why? Because the Word of God is the creative source of God's power. It's what he uses every time he wants to do anything. God does nothing apart from speaking his word. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't just will things to happen. He speaks them. God didn't just sit back at the beginning of time and say, "Boy, I'd really love to have some light and a sun and an earth and some stars and a moon and a Jupiter." He didn't do that. What did he do? He said, "Let there be," and there was. God does nothing apart from releasing his faith and his power through his word. It's the most important thing in our life. His word. It's the source of his power. Go with me, if you would, a few pages over to Psalm 119. If you ever want to get revelation about the word of God, read Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the chapter that is in the center of the Bible. And it is all about God's word. Every verse is about the word of God. We're going to look at verses 12 through verse 16, talking about how to delight ourselves in God. How do you delight yourself in God? Firstly, you read and you confess his word. Look at verse 12. He says, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Not statues, statutes. That's his word, isn't it? Teach me your word is another way we could say that. With my lips, this is amazing. Verse 13 just rocked me when I read it. He says, with my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. Wow. What an amazing thing to say. With my lips, put that verse 13 back up there if you would, please. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. What is David saying? Lord, I've learned to fall in love with your word, and I say the things you've already said. That is the way to live victorious as a Christian. Amen. Listen, when you get into a rough situation, don't talk about how bad it feels. Talk about what God has already said in his word. We, our lips, declare all of the judgments of his mouth. I'm not out there trying to speak to situations in my own power and with my own intelligence. No, go back to the word and find out what God has already said and then say that. It couldn't be easier. It couldn't be less complicated or more simple. It's so easy. Just see what the Bible says, read it, and confess it. Speak it out of your mouth. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens when you speak God's words. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Man. This is the way to live, guys. This is the way to live. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Number one, you read and you confess his word. Number two, pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Go with me to Jude 20. We're going to have to go quickly through the rest of these. I took too much time on point number one. I'm always guilty of doing that. But go to Jude chapter 20. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Man, pray in other tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a while. The Spirit of God challenged me to pray in tongues more every day. Yeah. I say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's okay. We can help you. Amen. It's easy. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when we talk about praying in the Spirit or praying in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about praying in other tongues. He says that when a person prays in other tongues, they don't speak unto men, but they speak unto God, and in the spirit realm they declare mysteries. And then Jude teaches us over here that when we pray in the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues, we are edifying ourselves. Look what he says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. This is the word building yourselves up is a single word in the Greek, and it's the word that we get edifice from, or edify. What does it mean to edify something? It means to fortify it and to build it up. I like what one preacher says this. He says, when you pray in other tongues, you are actually building, you're constructing within yourself a storehouse for revelation. When you pray in other tongues, you are building yourself up, building within yourself a place that attracts and receives the revelation of God. Isn't that powerful? Did you ever wonder why when you do pray in tongues, you just start to know stuff? Anybody had that experience before? I have. Not too long ago, I had spent a little bit of extra time one day praying in the Spirit, like in the morning. And later that afternoon, I was standing in my kitchen making, like it was in the evening, I was making dinner. And all of a sudden, I had this thought about a scripture. this scripture popped into my head. And I thought, oh, I haven't thought about that scripture in a while. And all of a sudden, as soon as I thought of it, all this wisdom, all this revelation, all this insight into what that scripture means started coming up in me. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. And then a few minutes later, another scripture popped into my head. And I started to think about that scripture for a minute. And all of a sudden, the same thing started to happen. And I thought, wow, why is this happening? And then the Holy Spirit's like, hello, ding dong. It's supposed to happen that way. You've been praying in other tongues. You've been building yourself up in your most holy faith. And so guess what's happening? Understanding, wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding become enlightened. I'm telling you, you pray in other tongues, it won't be 5 minutes and you'll be rejoicing. Rejoicing. I can't tell you how many times I've learned this. I can't tell you how many times I've missed it too, by the way. How many of you know we're under construction, right? Amen? How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Number two, pray in the Spirit. Number three, pray for someone else. If you're having a bad day, don't wallow in your own problem. Find somebody else with a problem and start to release the power of God into their life. If it's too hard for you to pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. Amen. Let me tell you, there is a reward in intercession. Do you want to know what the reward for intercession is? Joy. Joy. Extending yourself for someone else's benefit produces the reward of joy. You want me to prove it? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is our example, isn't he? The Bible says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Everything that Jesus did was on your behalf. Amen. What was his reward? Joy. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured something incredibly uncomfortable for you. It's quiet this morning. There is a reward of joy waiting for you if you'll extend your faith for somebody else's need. You want to delight yourself in the Lord? Learn to be unselfish in your prayer life. Learn to pray for somebody else's needs. Learn to intercede on behalf of somebody else that's having a struggle. Two things will happen. You'll start getting incredible joy on the inside of you. The second thing is your faith will get stronger in the process. A lot of times we don't like to believe for ourselves for things. A lot of times we don't like to believe for stuff for our own benefit. Well, fine. If that's the case, at least believe for somebody else. Amen. At least put your faith out there for somebody else's need. That way your faith's getting exercised. It's getting worked. Faith's like a muscle, man. You got to work it. Everybody got the same biceps, but not everybody's using them. Hello. We were all born. That's what Romans 12:3 says. Everybody was given the measure of faith. Everybody has potential. You don't need another muscle. You just need to work the one you got. And if you can't find it in yourself to work what you got for yourself, at least do it for somebody else. Be productive, man. I mean, somehow. Right? Why? There's joy on the other end of it. There's always joy attached to faith. Faith always comes with fulfillment. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's a reward. Joy is the reward for us exercising our faith, interceding for somebody else. Amen? Amen? Number four, sing. You could say worship, but I want to make special emphasis to singing for just a minute. You say, well, I can't sing. Big deal. There's a lot of things I can't do. But if God told me to do them, I'll do them anyways. Amen? Why? Because he said so. Sing before the Lord. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're winding down here in just a few minutes, guys. Ephesians chapter 5. We encourage and delight ourselves in the Lord. How do we do that? Number one, we read and we confess his word. Number two, we pray in other tongues. Number three, we pray and intercede for somebody else. Number four, we sing. Sing, man. Well, I don't feel like singing. Just sing anyways. I don't sing very well. Just do it anyway. God didn't say sing with perfect pitch. He just said sing. Right? Listen, get alone if you have to. Sometimes we have a hard time of like shouting before the Lord because other people are present and we get embarrassed. That's fine, but get alone and do it. Amen. Ephesians 5, listen to this. Verse 18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess." It's unnecessary is what he's saying. Do not be drunk with wine. It's totally unnecessary. But instead, be being filled with the Spirit. I've shared this with you before. The word there for be filled is present active in the Greek. It would be best translated, be being filled. Be all the time being filled. Every day, I'm a receptacle for God's Spirit, and I'll take every ounce of what he's got for me. Be being filled all the time. Lord, pour into me more, pour into me more, pour into me more till I overflow, till I burst. How does that happen? Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wow. He says sing and make melody in your heart. Now you don't sing in your heart. You sing with your mouth, right? I remember when I was little, my dad was pastoring. We had vibrant praise and worship when I was a kid. And people would come up to my dad and he'd say, you know, he'd say, listen, you looked really depressed during worship. Is everything okay? And they'd say, oh, pastor, I have a praise in my heart. And he'd say, no. You can have a praise in your heart. Let it come out of your mouth, please. It's for your own good. It's for your own benefit. We sing and we make melody in our heart. Now, I'm going to use the keyboard as an example of this for just a moment. Because as I began to study this scripture, unmute me if you would there, brother, the keyboard. There you go. As I began to study this out, the Holy Spirit said, what does the melody of your heart sound like? What does the inside of you sound like? If you were able to plug a speaker into your heart, what would be coming out? Let me give you an example of what I mean. This is a G minor chord. This is a G major chord. Sounds different, doesn't it? Which one sounds happy? Which one sounds sad? The minor chord sounds like a rainy day, doesn't it? Now, there's beauty in it, but it sounds like a rainy day. But the G major chord sounds happy. Nice, isn't it? You want to know what the difference is between a G major chord and a G minor chord? One note. One. To go from here to here. is one note. G minor has a B flat. G major has a B. Everything else is exactly the same. What's the point? Sometimes you need to make one tiny adjustment on the inside, and the melody of your heart will shift. Sometimes all it takes is a tiny little tweak. Isaiah, when the nation of Israel is having the worst day, he gets caught up to the throne room of God in Isaiah 6. And he said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the whole earth was full of the glory of the Lord. What happened? Isaiah shifted one thing and began to see from God's perspective instead of from his. What's the melody of your heart sound like? Could it do with one little tweak? Could it improve with a minor little, just a little change? Sometimes that's as far away as we are from being delighted in God, is one note. Sing, make melody in your heart towards God. Can you do with one more? Number five. Have you guessed what it could be? We got read the word and confess it. We got praying in the other tongues. We got praying for somebody else, interceding for somebody else's life. We got singing. It's totally dancing. Sean goes, I hope it's not dancing. Number five, delight yourself in the Lord is dance, man. But I'm a terrible dancer. So am I. Big deal. I'll be in the Nutcracker this year for the 8th year in a row. I'm still not a good dancer, but they still keep casting me because I'm a dad and my whole family's in it, and I have to at this point. I'm bought in. I'm just grandfathered into the system at this point. I'll be on stage once again being a rat in the Nutcracker in the fight scene. The good news is I get to wear a mask so nobody knows which one is me. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David danced before the Lord with all of his might. This is the same guy who had figured out how to encourage himself in the Lord 7 chapters earlier. Pretty wild, huh? Just a few chapters earlier, David's learning how to encourage himself in the Lord. Then you get to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and the Ark of the Covenant returns to the nation of Israel. And David dances through Jerusalem in his underpants. And the Bible says his wife, Michal, saw him violently spinning before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Dance, man. I don't care if you look like whatever. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Do it when nobody's looking. Brother Hagin used to say, I would go out behind the barn where nobody could see me and dance like crazy and shout before the Lord. Do you know what happens in those moments? Victory. Victory happens in those moments. That's where you go from being under to being over. That's where you go from all hell breaking loose in your life to now I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above only and I am never beneath. Man, you start to do that. You start to get before God and lose all inhibitions and say, Lord, I don't care what I look like. I don't even care if anybody sees me. I'm going to shout before the Lord. I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to rejoice. Guess what? You'll never feel like doing this. You'll never feel like doing this. You'll be in a bad situation in a bad way, and the only thing you'll want to do is drink some hot tea, eat a bowl of macaroni and cheese, and go to sleep. And maybe binge watch some Netflix on the way. You never feel like doing this stuff, but it's not about what you feel. It's about encouraging yourself in the Lord. Put the macaroni and cheese away. Don't wait for your friend to come over and pump you up. Don't wait till Sunday to come to church. Because here's the reality. If the enemy can steal your confidence, he'll actually prevent opportunities for friends and for you to come to church and go to the place that you need to go to get blessed. How many of you figured that out besides me? You wake up and you're just like, I feel terrible, I feel miserable, I'm awful, this is terrible. The last thing you want to do is call up a friend and let's rejoice together, right? That's the last thing you're going to do. No, we learn. We learn in the challenging moments of life to stir up your own faith, stir your own heart up, delight yourself in the Lord. Take responsibility, guys, for your own encouragement. It is one of the characteristics that marks the lives of people who do great things in the kingdom of God. So many of us know that we have a calling. So many of us know there's a destiny for God, in God for me. Great are the plans that the Lord has for me. So many of us are aware of our calling and have a genuine desire to fulfill it. But when we get the opportunity to, something comes along to snatch our confidence. And instead of rejoicing and in stirring ourselves up, we just lay down. Do you know what happens when that happens? Nothing. You stay right where you're at. Nothing happens. Right? Listen, when it comes to the will and purpose of God, if God can't trust you to stir yourself up, he will not give you responsibility to stir up 1,000 other people. Right? If God cannot, listen, you can't give what you don't have. You can't teach what you haven't learned. We've got to learn how to do this on Tuesday afternoon when, you know, whatever, when something poopy happens in your life, you know, when the kids are having a tough day and there's not enough money and all these kinds of things that come against us. Those are the moments when we have to turn our stupid thinking off and say, no, I'm going to encourage myself and delight myself in God. Amen. Those are what I like to call graduation moments. That's when you graduate. That's when you get entrusted with more. That's when you come up in the plan of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand up to our feet.
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.